Senate Labor Committee is gathered. What is the word I'm looking for? There we go. Okay, welcome everyone to the Senate Labor Committee. Today we have a very short agenda. We are going to be hearing Senate File 3407, which is the Workers' Compensation Advisory Council bill that we typically hear annually. It's a bipartisan bill. Myself and Senator Utke are currently the co-authors of it, and also non-voting members on the council. And the council, as all of us know, is coming together of representatives from labor and from industry, and they work out sort of the bumps in the road around workers' compensation and kind of bring it to that group, and they really hash it out. So the bill typically represents a real compromise and a worked out collaboration in that regard. And we have with us today of the chair of the Workers' Compensation Advisory Council, Commissioner Blissbach. And so I'm just going to turn it over to you, Commissioner, welcome, to run through the bill. Well, actually, first we'll go ahead and adopt the amendment that then reflects the agreement that the council has come to. That's the way you'd like to proceed. Okay, so the amendment that you should have before you is one of the strangest numbers that I've seen, but I think it would you like to speak to it?
Madam Chair, members, so this the reviser drafted this amendment. It just makes it a lot easier for them to process, and the coding for it is not what you'd normally see, like the A1. The coding is A25-0081.
Thank you. Very good. Okay. Members, I'd like to, as the author of the bill, move the adoption of the A25-0081 amendment, as it reflects the council's agreement and puts the bill in the shape that I would like it to be in. So I move the adoption. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? All right. The A25-0081 amendment is adopted. Commissioner.
All right. Thank you for having me. My name is Nicole Blissenbach. I'm the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Labor and Industry. And thank you for the opportunity to testify in support of Senate File 3407, the Workers' Compensation Advisory Council Bill. So as required by law, the council is comprised of equal numbers of members representing business and members representing labor. After many months of the business and labor members working closely with multiple state agencies and key stakeholders, the council voted to advance to the legislature both technical and substantive proposals to improve the workers' compensation process and system for businesses and injured workers. The bill, and I'll talk about the bill is introduced and the amendment in that order. The bill is introduced includes 9 sections, all of which are housekeeping chamber changes that identified by the Department of Labor and Industry. Section 1 clarifies who qualifies as an employee for purposes of workers' compensation related to certain direct care programs under the Minnesota Department of Human Services. Sections 2 and 3 clarify the definition of a corporate executive officer related to workers' compensation insurance requirements. Sections 4 and 7 clarify payment for nursing services provided by a household member of an injured worker. Sections 5 and 8 contain technical changes to certain filing provisions in Chapter 176. Section 6 increases the limit above which workers' compensation benefits are assignable. And Section 9 repeals Minnesota Rules Part 5220.2840, which was previously fully codified into statute. The effective date of all sections except for Section 6 is day following final enactment. Section 6 applies to dates of injury on or after October 1st, 2025. The amendment amends Chapters 176 and Chapter 79 and relates to workers' compensation premium fraud prevention in the construction industry and the approval and use of owner-controlled and contractor-controlled insurance programs. Section 3 provides, well, I'll start with Section 3, and it defines a key term used throughout this language. A zero estimated exposure policy is a workers' compensation policy where the employer has reported to the insurer its total estimated payroll exposure as zero. In other words, they have no employees. Section 1 requires insurers to include specific language in an application for a zero estimated exposure policy that attests to the accuracy of the application, including the absence of employees and estimated zero exposure. Section 2 defines an owner-controlled or contractor-controlled insurance program as a type of insurance program where a series of workers' compensation policies are combined and issued to two or more legal entities, typically the project sponsor and contractors and subcontractors, engaged in a single specific and large construction, erection, or demolition project. It adds an application and approval process for these programs, which will be reviewed by the Department of Commerce and approved or disapproved within 60 days of receipt of the completed application and a submission of a $2,500 application fee. It identifies eligibility criteria, for example, that the aggregate value of the project exceeds $100 million, that it is a single project and generates $500,000 or more annually in workers' compensation premium. It identifies application requirements for example, the name of the proposed insurer, the project location, information concerning the contractors and subcontractors involved, and the applicable classification codes, and a requirement that the project or general contractor provide quarterly updates to Commerce on any changes to the application. It specifies that no one involved in the program can have an insurance fraud conviction and that the insurer's rates and rating plan must be approved by the Department of Commerce. It clarifies how Commerce and their data services organization, which is the MWCIA, may share information related to these programs. It describes requirements on the insurance policy forms and rates that must be used for approved programs and the timeline to inform Commerce of any deviation from rates previously approved. It places limits on the deductible of the policy to no less than $50,000 and no more than $1 million. Prohibits a contractor or subcontractor involved in an approved program from using a zero estimated exposure policy. Obligates project sponsors or general contractors to collect payroll for the program at the time of premium audit and retain those records for 3 years after completion of the project. And requires that all subcontractors and contractors in the program be provided a copy of the insurance policy covering their employees, and that employees must be provided information on how to submit a workers' compensation claim. Section 4 specifies that the employer's total estimated exposure amount and reported construction classification codes for a zero estimated exposure policy are public data that must be reported by an insurer. And Section 5 requires a construction employer that obtains a zero estimated exposure policy to provide written notification that they have obtained such a policy and provide a copy of that policy to all entities in which it directly contracts to provide construction or improvement services. And it requires that entity receiving the notification and the policy to maintain the documents for 3 years. I'll just say that there was a lot of work put into this, and the Work Comp Advisory Council met this morning and passed this proposal with a unanimous vote. You will find, I believe, in your packets a letter that was signed by the Chamber, by the AFL, and by myself, indicating that this bill is supported by the Advisory Council with that unanimous vote. So thank you for the opportunity to testify in support of this bill, and I will remain in committee for any questions. I should note I also have the Department of Commerce here if there are specific questions related to the wrap-up policy.
Thank you very much, Commissioner. Members, are there any questions or comments about the bill? Yes, Senator Grünhagen.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. Yeah, I don't know if it directly relates to this bill, but I have a constituent that I'm trying to represent on this, and she came to my office probably first month of the session, and she worked for a sporting goods place, and the with the light snow the last couple of years, they've been really hurting in terms of their sales, and she's the bookkeeper. Anyway, but their unemployment rate went from 0.10, okay, to 0.40, I think 40 or 45. And she showed with the number of employees they have, it increased their annual expense on unemployment $15,000, which she said this is putting them on the verge of closing their doors because they're just not getting the revenue from the sales. Why did unemployment jump that dramatically? What do you know as far as the factors?
Senator, I don't know that the bill in front of us has anything related to unemployment, but if there's anything that you'd like to add at all, Commissioner, I don't mean to cut you off. I just want to make sure that we're staying in the lane of the bill.
Chair McEwen, Senator Grunhagen, I am happy to say that I actually don't have anything to do with unemployment. That is deed. So I think that the answer to your question is probably best covered by deed because they would have an explanation of unemployment insurance rates.
Thank you. Yes, Senator Grunhagen.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for that response. Maybe you can answer this question. Why, wherever government shows up, the price of everything goes up? No, you don't have to answer that.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Dornick.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Commissioner, for your hard work. It's nice when this bill comes through because we know that you guys work really hard, and having the equal amount of labor and industry or business together and coming to a unanimous vote is just well done. Appreciate that, and it's nice to see that business and labor can work together, and it's so important that you do and that we do because both are so important. So I just want to thank you for your work and all those on the that are on the committee because it is an example of the work that gets done, and appreciate all the work that you do, and like I said, all those that are on the committee too. So I encourage a yes vote or a green vote.
Thank you, Senator Dornick. I second that. Bravo to everybody who put in all of the work to get us here. It is always a pleasure to carry this bill and to support it. So thank you very much for the work. Is there anything else that anybody who has joined us today would like to add for the record? Okay, I just want to make sure that, yeah. And closing thoughts, Commissioner.
I just thank you, Chair McEwen. I just wanted to point out we do have advisory council members in the room, and I just can't state enough how much work went into getting to this final product. Every single year, there are a lot of meetings. It's a lot of time that people put into the work, and the pay isn't great. So for the work comp advisory council members, so I just want to call out that there's a lot of commitment and dedication to the work of the council, and I thank them for their service.
Excellent. Thank you very much, everybody. On that, do we have a motion to recommend that Senate File 3407, as amended, do pass and be re-referred to the Committee on Finance? All right. On Senator Dornick's motion, all in favor, please say aye. Aye. All opposed? All right. The motion passes. Thank you, everyone, very much. That concludes our business today. With that, the Senate Labor Committee is adjourned.